Rishut HaTzibur, Rishut HaBet Riri, Rishut HaBlaniado, I don't recall a time in my personal life where the desire, the intense and deeply internal desire for Mashiach to come had been so strong. These last 2 years have been a lot. Corona, illnesses, many, many deaths recently, job losses, political unrest both here in America and in Israel are very destabilizing. The cost of living has gone up. I remember when you used to fill a tank of gas, you had like 5-10 minutes and go shopping, go into the store, buy something to eat. Now by the time you hit the click on the gas pump, you can't even have time to check your phone anymore. It goes so fast because things are so expensive. Yet we continue to sit on the floor on a day that we have taught has been earmarked and designated and destined to be the source of woes and challenges for the Jewish people. But after thousands of years, it gets harder and harder. And more frustrating to know what to say, where to begin our journey of return. Recently, someone asked me this very question. She said, what do we think about? Where do we start? What can we do in these very trying moments? And I said to her, I'll tell you the truth. So I grew up, as many of us here looking around, grew up in a very different era. A very idyllic times in America. America was in a good place. Israel was strong and blossoming. Neighbors were safe. People were content. We did not hear helicopters flying over our heads, shootings in the middle of the night. We were comfortable. Parents worked. Parents were not pumping their children with meds to get through the day. But times have changed. Shalom Bayis is on the rise. Struggle with our children seem to plague every home. Because Baruch Hu, I told him, knew this. He knew this from the very, very beginning that in 2023 we're going to have these challenges. Because Baruch Hu knew that was exactly what things are going to be like for us in this very generation. And he still wants us here. And he still put me and put you in this generation. He puts in this very time to live. And therefore, perhaps the question shouldn't always be, as much as we have to be mitzapel Yeshua, as much as we have to always constantly strive and desire to be hopeful for the coming of the Mashiach, maybe if we ask ourselves these questions, what can I do to bring Mashiach? It's too much. It's overwhelming after thousands of years of galut. Perhaps the question should be a little bit more specific. Perhaps the question should be, what can I do to thrive in this galut? And the answer, I believe, is actually very simple. The answer is to turn down the noise and turn off the static. I'll tell you what I mean. The Chafetz Chaim tells us famously, the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Lashon Hara. And in the Hakdamah, in the introduction to his book on Lashon Hara, he quotes this, but he questions it. He says, because I know that the Gemara and Yuma does not talk about Lashon Hara. The Gemara talks about Tzinah Chinam. The Gemara talks about baseless hatred. But he said that it must be that Lashon Hara is so severe, that's what caused the damage. And I want to explain to you what I think he means. We try to understand the wisdom and the greatness of the Chafetz Chaim. The Gemara says to us, "Aber Mikdash Sheni she'oskim b'Torah v'Mitzvot v'Gimel Chasadim." In the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, when Am Yisrael, when the Jewish nation, the Gemara testifying that the Jews of that generation were engaged and involved in Limud Torah, they were engaged and involved in Mitzvot, they were engaged and involved in Gimel Chasadim. The Gemara asked the question of Mei Harav, why were they destroyed? Because that's Tzinah Chinam. But you have to ask yourself a question. It doesn't add up. Because how could the same people who are engaged in Chesed, the Gemara testified this was a nation that was involved in Chesed, They had gemach, the gemachim, their programs, their events, their charities, they had anything you needed to make sure that everyone had what they needed. How could that generation be accused of sinat chinam? How could the same people that you interact with, Asad Chesed, who run all the programs, the wonderful things that we have today, imagine what the Gemara said they had in those days, Chesed. The Gemara testifies for us, they're involved in Chesed. So how could that same generation, that same people, those same neighbors be involved in sinat chinam? And perhaps that's why the Chafetz Chaim concluded it was Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, slandering and gossiping, allows you to live in both worlds. It allows you to act nice and kind to somebody in front of him, but behind their back, gossip about them. But in reality, it also doesn't add up. Because in reality, how could we behave such a way? How could you drive back from volunteering by a blood drive, volunteering by some chesed program? And on the way home, did you see that person? Did you see him? Did you see her? And so on. You just came back from a chesed organization. How could it be that we sit around our Shabbat table full of Kedusha, the holiness of Shabbat, and talk about other people and talk about Lashon Hara? It doesn't add up. Where did that mentality come from, that separation that is built within ourselves to distinguish and separate the fact that we can involve in such Torah and mitzvot? And yet, do the baseless hatred of Lashon Hara. Hagaon of Moshe Shapiro, Zechon Levacha, talks about the original sin of Tisha B'Av. We know that Tisha B'Av, the sorrows, the tragedies, the mazal ra, the bad energy, did not start not by the second Beit HaMikdash, not by the first. But began on a fateful night in the desert when the Meraglim came home and reported with such negativity about the land of Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu's land. And they gave the negative reports. And we all talk about that Lashon Hara. We all speak about that behavior, the Meraglim. It says that Moshe Shapiro is forgetting something else. And the Gemara Tanit seems to imply. The Gemara said that the reason why if you cry tonight for no reason, Achinam, you'll be crying for generations on this night. That was the first Tisha B'Av. But why did they cry? Because they made a choice who they were listening to. The Shmi'ah, the listening of the nation of the Jewish people in the desert, when they had a choice who to follow, the Meraglim on one hand versus Moshe, Aaron, Kalev, Yeshua on the other hand. Who do you listen to? What are you listening to? You have a promise that came down from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, handed down from a generation that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us to this promised land. This is going to be the land of Zavat Chalav Udavash. It's going to be the land of the Jewish people. It's going to be the future home of Kal Yisrael forever and ever. It's going to hold the Beit HaMikdash. It's going to bring us great blessing and opportunity and glory for connection to God. All that God promises, and you listen to Meraglim. Lemi Shom'im, to who are you listening to? There's a lot of noise in our life. A lot of distracting noise, static. And as we go through our days with aspiration and desire to become great people, to do the right thing, to learn, to daven, to be involved in chesed, to be good people, we struggle. Because what are we listening to? We're hearing so many different things. But what are you listening to? What's the noise going inside of you? There's the noise of our body, the ears of our body, and there's the ears of our neshamot. And we have to understand that what we allow to come into our ears is going into our neshama. And when we listen to things we shouldn't be listening to, and when we engage in things we shouldn't be engaging in, it's going to throw us off. It's going to disconnect us from those aspirations and those goals and desires that we have. There's recently a beautiful story that came out. A story about a Sephardic Jew. And he tells the story himself. His name is Rachamim. So I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't say himself. He told the story himself. He comes from Englewood, New Jersey. I come from Englewood, New Jersey. From Yemenek, so it's different. And he tells a story. He's working in his office, I think in Manhattan, as Edward Schwartz. And he's rushing home. And he sees a group of people staying on the side. It looked like they needed some help. But he happened not to have liked this community of people. They were a Hasidic group, undefined in particular. They were Hasidim. He didn't like them. Didn't like their lifestyle, didn't like their culture, didn't like the way they dressed. It is bothering him. That was his own personal flaw. And although he felt the urge and the need to maybe help them, he saw they needed some type of help. But he said, you know what, I'm busy and I have to get home and Shavuot and let their own people take care of them. And continues driving home. As he pulled up towards the Palisades Parkway, Engel was exit 1, he sees another situation of Frum Jews standing on the side, but very, very desperate situation. Because he noticed it was a husband and a wife, a couple of children, but he saw that there was missing something they need to have, and they had something that they did not want to have. They were missing a car. Can't drive without a car on the Palisades Parkway. And they had a police officer next to them. Not a good picture. So he figures out how to make the U-turn, get across. He says to the man, what's going on? He says, crazy story. My registration fell behind times a little bit. I didn't get a chance to re-register. Somehow the police officer noticed it on my license, pulled me over, confiscated my car, impounded my car. And I have to get to the mountains, to Monroe, or that area, to the Catskills. I'm a chazan for Shavuot. And I brought my wife and family to spend Chag together. Now I have no car. It's almost time. What I don't know what to do. I've been calling Uber, and every time I call Uber, they cancel on me. And Rachamim puts his hand in his pocket and says, here, take my car. I live not far from my wife will pick me up. If I can't get an Uber, my wife can pick me up. He says, I can't take your car. I just met you. He says, take my car. You don't have a choice. You have to go. It's Erev Shavuot. You have to be Chazan. Your family stranded on the side of the field. What else are you going to do? Take my car. He was shocked at the moment. He says, fine, just take my license. I'll give my license number. Take my watch, it's collateral. He says, no, I don't need this. Give me your phone number. You'll take my number. I'll take your number. We'll connect after the chag. Just take my car and go. And the man went. It's a beautiful story. What's amazing about that story was when Rachamim saw the Jews staying on the side of the road was another Hasidic family. And he realized to himself, Kadosh Baruch Hu was sending him a message. What are you going to listen to? The static in your mind, the noise in your brain that said that for some reason you have a sinach chinam, a baseless hatred against the people you don't even know, against the culture you're unfamiliar with because you don't like them, you're going to ignore them, you leave them stranded on the side, says, God, I'll give you one more chance. And Rachamim made a decision, who am I going to listen to? My first time I failed. The first time I did not listen to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chanun v'Rachum, I was unmerciful, I was unkind, I ignored the needs of people because I didn't like them, because I had static in my ears, I had static in my soul, I drove right by them, but God said, I'll give you one more chance, and he took it. That's good. He made that change in his life at that moment. He turned around his entire life. You should know, the story is supported by the Hasid fellow who told all the same story in a voice message. And to picture them on Rachamim's driveway. And the Hasidic Jew bought Rachamim a beautiful Havdalah set. Why? Because in Abdallah we say, Amabdi al Ben, Walla Khoshech, Israel la'anin. Only a Jew can listen like that. Only a Jew knows how to turn down the noise and turn down the static of their life, of things going on inside of their head which doesn't belong, and fulfill the aspiration of who they really want to be. In Shila, we say there are three filot throughout our day. Shachrit, Mincha, and Aravit, as we know. Although today we know that we perform all of them as an obligation, but halachically speaking, initially, only Shachrit and Mincha were designated as filot chovah, or obligatory obligations to daven. Aravit was a reshut, was an opportunity, an option. If you want to, you could. You don't want to, you don't have to. If you felt that inspiration, you felt the desire, go ahead for it. If you don't, you're good. But what's the distinction? Why indeed does Aravit stand alone? Why did Yaakov Avinu's tefillah stand separate from that of Avraham Yitzchak? Why Avraham Yitzchak became obligatory tefillot, Shachrit and Mincha, and Yaakov didn't get that merit initially? And once had a beautiful idea. There are two ways that we connect. There are two ways we can live a type of inspiration in our lives. There is the inspiration of things that we do that we have a structure throughout our day. There's inspiration when we listen to the meaningful moment, Torah Anytime, Torah Tuesday, all the various opportunities of media we have, there's opportunities to learn, schedule times that we sit and learn, Gemara, Musa, Chachma. It's all wonderful. But those are scheduled moments that we need to fill our days with. Because without them, we get lost in our day. And he says that's the tefillah of Shachrit and that's the tefillah of Mincha. Shachit was a planned tefillah. But Yashkim Avon Baboker and Makom Asher Amad Sham, Chachamim saying, well, Bachot, Amad Sham is Lashon Amida. Avon went out by Yashkim Avon Baboker, he got up in the morning early to go pray. He designated, deliberately went and planned to daven at that moment. He created tefillah. It's a scheduled part of our day. Yitzchak said, Bosatun Vayetz, Yitzchak Vesuch Besadeh Leftot Erev, Yitzchak went out to the field to pray, says the Gemara, Suach, Lasiach means to talk in God, to talk in prayer. Yitzchak went and designated time of his day, planned, scheduled prayer in his day. Beautiful and necessary. But then there's another type of inspiration. It's the moment of inspiration that comes in our lives because we're simply looking to be inspired. When we hear something randomly, we see something, we think of something, we have that flash of inspiration, that flash of motivation that says to us, do it, try it, learn it, daven it, say it, give it to Tzedakah, go do the chesed. That moment that suddenly comes into our mind is a flash of inspiration that we're not thinking it was unplanned, that opportunity comes our way. Like it happened to Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov was not planning to daven Aravit, Vayivka b'makom v'yilan shon kivar shemesh, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the sun stop and go down. Vayivka, said the Gemara, Yaakov met. He is pogeya. He stayed there, and only when he went to sleep and he woke up, he's a manara makom azeh. Then he began to daven. The tefillah of Aravit was an unplanned, unscheduled, unregistered tefillah in the day, because Aravit represents the moment of inspiration that we have that allows us to turn down the noise and the static of our life. Because yes, we all need to have the scheduled inspiration of Shacharit. We all need to be grounded in the afternoon by Mincha. But there are moments in our lives that are not planned and not scheduled. That comes when we live that level of inspiration throughout our day, and we're constantly fighting and striving to turn down the static and turn down the noise that fills our hearts and fills our souls and blocks the energy of goodness to enter into our life. It's the moment of Aravit, because Baruch Hu is saying to you, I'm giving you an opportunity, Yaakov, to daven. Yaakov took the opportunity to create Aravit. So initially Chachamim said, we need you to understand, we need you to balance the shachrit and mincha moments of your life and the aravit moments of your life. There are times in your day you have to have a schedule program, and there are times in your day and times in your life you have to understand there's going to be opportunities that God's going to give you. This is your test to see what you are listening to, who you listen. Are you choosing Meraglim over Moshe and Kalev and Yeshua? Are you choosing the goodness of the chesed that you do and the tefillah you do over the gossip and the slander and the jealousy and the kinah? Who are you listening to in your life? If we want to thrive in our lives, we need to turn down the noise of all the distractions. I want this Gemara one step deeper, this idea. Gemara Numa tells us that there's a certain hum of noise that exists during the daytime. As the earth orbits around the sun, it creates a hum that can only be heard on a very low level during the atmosphere of the daytime. It's not heard at night. You can look it up at Google, that I searched it. You all talk about this low hum, 0.01. Some people hear, some people don't hear. The daytime, there's a noise. There's a noise that even God breathes into this world. Daytime is the daytime of activity. Daytime is the daytime of movement, of obligation, of responsibilities, of distraction, the noise. And therefore we do shachrit and mincha. We schedule ourselves to have those moments in our lives that we must show up. We must be present. We must daven. And then comes the nighttime, when God himself turns down the volume, takes away the noise of the earth orbiting around us, and says, now it's a moment of inspiration for you. I took out the noise. It's nighttime for you. Things are calmer, or they should be. Let me see what you do with that. How do you live those moments of opportunity of inspiration? What do you do with your aravit life as well? Perhaps with this we can understand the words Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael means, Jewish people, what are you listening to? What's your Shema? What is the Shmi'ah of Yisrael? What is what we listen to? Hashem Elokeinu. We listen to one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We always say in tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu levadcha, you alone should rule over us. What does that mean? That my entire existence, my entire being, my entire purpose should focus on one thing, on you. And everything else in the world is distraction and noise I need to turn down. Hashem Echad. That's the only thing I listen to. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad. If we allow the Shmia, if we allow the listening to what we listen to in our life to be of Hashem Elokeinu, we recognize it and we internalize it and we believe it. Hashem Elokeinu. Then he becomes Hashem Echad. Then he becomes the only thing that we hear. He becomes the total Shmia of Yisrael. And you don't have a generation that's osik in Torah and Chesed, and yet sinat chinam la'lashon hara. But it's not just true min adam l'makom. It's not just true min adam l'chavero of people outside of our homes. People make mistakes. Remember a number of years ago, I was a rav of one of the positions I had a bunch of years ago. I walked in, I was a little bit not in a good place, as we say. And one of the balabatim said to me, he says, Rabbi, what's going on? You look a little bit upset. He said, yeah, someone just did something, said something, which really bothered me, threw me off. He said to me, Rabbi, give him a get out of jail card. Give him a free pass this one time. It's like, wow. he's so right. Because we all make mistakes. We all say things that we don't mean or do things we don't really want to do. We all have our challenges, our faults. But we hunker down on those. We hear a person say something to us, and a relationship of 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years can be lost in one nasty line. We'll throw away relationships of families forever. Because one person said something that wasn't appropriate. It was wrong. But give them a card, a free pass. Things happen. People make mistakes. We're all human. But when we sit on those things, on negativity, when we listen to that one thing, when that's what we're hearing, when that's what we're listening, it breaks apart families, it breaks apart communities. Mora tells us, kol ma'avir midotav, ma'avidim ha'kol pesh'av. Anyways, ma'avir midotav, he's forgiving and forgoing on his own personal insults and how people heard him and talked to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill you all of your pisha'im. That's a lot. I don't know about you, but that's a lot for me. It's quite a sweet deal. What are we listening to? Why is it that when one thing happens wrong, that outweighs all the good that we get? Why do we hear the negativity about the reports of Eretz Yisrael, not the good and the promises of the Avot HaKadoshim? Why is it that our natural way to respond to something is with a negativity? Why can't we have inside of us that sensation that says to us, it's okay, it happens. I'm listening to the good stuff, not to the bad stuff. I only want to hear the good. And this is so true. How we interact with our spouses, how we interact with our children. How often as parents do we say something happens and our child does not do the right thing? That's what we criticize. That's what we notice. That's what we pick up on. I got 99 out of 100. I asked to take out the garbage. They did four of the wonderful things, but they didn't take out the garbage. They took out the garbage. We focus on negativity sometimes too much. And I'm not saying there's no place for discipline. I'm not saying there's no place for education. I am saying there's a place to listen to the good stuff of life. And to begin to turn down the negativity of our lives. That distracting noise. We say that filot, Shema Kolenu, listen to our voices. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to our voice. As the Netziv explains, this means listen to the rawness of my voice. I may not have the eloquence of the words. I may not have the depth of communication to God. I may not understand exactly what to say, how to say, but I know I have a voice that's reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Kol Leinu. But the pasuk of Eis in this week's parasha, the pasuk says, Kvodo Vet Godlo Vet Kolo Shem Anu Mitoch HaEish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, but you heard my voice first. I spoke to my voice, says God. You want me to hear your voice? Shema Koleinu, Vet Kolo Shem Anu. We heard God's voice already once. More than once. This is what the Torah is teaching us. This is what Tisha B'Av teaches us. That if we learn to listen to the voices that count, hear what needs to be heard, and understand everything else is distraction, just noise in our lives. Shema Yisrael, listen as a Jew listens. Be a different type of listener. Shema, because we heard voice, Hashem's voice. Kolo Shem Anu. In the merit of our Hashem, training our ways to hear and to listen differently, to listen with ears that are connected to our neshama, to listen to find moments of arvit in our lives, of inspiration, and grab those moments. To listen like the Jew listens, and to choose what to listen to, because there'll always be choices. There'll always be opportunities, there'll always be different ways we can hear things. But if we want to live that life of Torah, and mitzvot and gimulach hasadim without the sinat chinam, without lashon hara lo aleinu. If we want to live those lives, we have to change what we listen to. And bezat Hashem yitbarach shemo, there's a chut to change what we listen to. Kosh baruch hu b'shomer koleinu, listen to our tefillot, listen to our voices, and we return to them hera b'yameinu, b'nei b'tem nishis b'karov, amen.